So we're on Daf Yud Chesem and Beis. Let's just review the sugya of the Iber Shana here. The Braisa tells us that neither a Melech nor a Kohen Gadol could be part of the Bezdin for Iber Shana. Each one for its own reason. Each one has some sort of a negiah, some sort of vested interest here. The Melech has a vested interest dafka to add another month and expand the year. And why is that? Because he will pay his soldiers the same amount of money, but he'll get an extra month out of it. In other words, the terms of the agreement and the commitment to pay them their wages is for a year, no matter whether that year is made up of 12 months or 13 months. So he gets another month out of the year. The Kohen Gadol, on the other hand, has the exact opposite vested interest, and that is that he would like to leave the year as it is. Meaning he will lose rather than benefit from adding an extra month. What loss does he have? So the Gemara says that on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol has many kiddushim, many tfilos, and he comes out of a cold, cold mikveh. And if the weather is cold, that makes it that much more uncomfortable for him. So that it works like this. The month of Tishrei, on a normal year, is in what we call autumn. And the weather is still somewhat warm. But Cheshvan is already getting closer to the winter months, and the weather is turning cold. If the Beis Din will decide to expand the year, then by adding another month of, let's say, we'll call it Adar Beis, then Tishrei is going to fall out in what normally would be Cheshvan. As a result, the weather conditions will be cold and that much more difficult for the Kohen Gadol. So he has vested interest not to add another month. If he adds another month, then what happens is that the weather conditions that would have been normal in that case will now be more wintry, because you add another month and now you're pushing Tishrei up 1 month towards what would have been Cheshvan. So he's going to end up with the weather conditions of Cheshvan, even though it's Tishrei. And Yom HaKippurim is going to now fall out on what normally would, as far as weather conditions in a normal calendar, would be winter instead of autumn, and hence he's going to suffer from the cold weather. So let's start with Amar Rav Papa, which we did yesterday, but we had a little bit of a challenge here with the Aramaic, so today we'll hopefully have the Aramaic. And by the way, Reuven, you have an art scroll? Okay, so I'm going to call on you, if you could lend me or read for me when we get to it. We're not ready for it yet. Footnotes number 24 and number 28. Those are the footnotes that we want to see. So let's start with Amar Rav Papa. So where is Amar Rav Papa? Can anybody tell me where Amar Rav Papa is?
Two-thirds of the way down.
What's the first word in the line?
Asninu.
Asninu? I don't see such a word.
In the middle of Tosfos Mishum.
Yeah. In the middle of Tosfos Mishum?
Yeah.
Okay. Amar Rav Papa. Oh, Afsanya. Okay, good. Now I know what we're talking about. Okay, Afsanya. Good. Afsanya. Amar Rav Papa Shmami Na Shata Basar Yarcha Ozil. Which means the following, that the understanding of Iber Shana and its impact is that the year, which means the climactic conditions of the year, whether it be cold during the winter or hot during the summer, Basar Yarcha Azla, it all depends upon those months that would have been in their normal position in the calendar year without adding an extra month. So therefore, by adding an extra month, what you're basically doing is you're delaying the month 1 month forward, and therefore you're taking the month of Tishrei, which is normally a pleasant month during autumn, it's not a cold month, and you're pushing it forward by 1 month into what normally would have been Cheshvan, which is the beginning of the winter months. So it's getting already cold. And that's why the Kohen Gadol has vested interest not to expand the year, because in so doing, his Tishrei after the Shana Muberes will be a normal Cheshvan, and the normal weather conditions of Cheshvan are sort of adverse or challenging for the Kohen Gadol who's doing all these tefillos, and he doesn't want to expose himself to the cold after he comes out of a cold mikvah. So if this be the case, then Rav Papa says that we see clearly that according to this sugya of Kohen Gadol and Ibur Shana, the purpose of Ibur Shana is something other than what I call reconciling the Jewish calendar with the solar calendar. Let me explain. If not for this sugya that we're about to learn, which is called Shata Basar Yarcha Azil, that it's the months of the year that really determine the weather conditions, or correspond, I should say, to the weather conditions. So Cheshvan, by definition, is going to be a cold month, and now if you add another month of Adar, then as we said before, Basar Yarcha Azil means that now what you're doing is you are taking Tishrei, and by adding that month, you're virtually making it into Cheshvan. Because again, Basar Yarcha Azlo. Now let me explain why this is a very sensational chidush. The more perhaps simple understanding of the purpose of Ibur Shana would be to allow the seasons of cold and hot to reflect themselves in the months. Meaning, what we want to do is we want to align or have some sort of correspondence between the month and its weather conditions. Meaning, we want Tishrei to really still have, you know, the conditions, that the climactic conditions that are normal for Tishrei. And sometimes, because of the discrepancy between the solar calendar, the Jewish calendar, and I'm sorry, the lunar calendar, I'm sorry, the Jewish calendar and the solar calendar, what we need is we need to add another month to realign everything so that the seasons will fall out exactly when they are. This is called Tkufos. If you remember what we learned earlier in the first Perek, right, we always have to guarantee, for example, that Nisan will fall in the Tkufas HaAviv because we want to make sure that Pesach will be the Chodesh HaAviv. So we sometimes have to manipulate the Jewish calendar by adding a month in order to make sure that those months will always have the climactic conditions that are typical of those months. So in order to guarantee that Tishrei will have its climactic conditions of Tishrei, which are fine for the Kohen Gadol, we have to add another month of Adar. But in doing so, we really realign the calendar. And now the solar calendar corresponds, the lunar calendar, excuse me, corresponds to the solar calendar. So we're just twisting it around in such a way that now the weather conditions of Tishrei, which are typical of Tishrei, will actually happen. We had a problem that forced us to add the month of Adar because there was a lag between the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. So we were falling behind because of that discrepancy of, let's say, 10 days every year. So now we have to realign it. We have to put it back into its original position. We're really correcting something that went off kilter. And what we're doing is we are setting up Tishrei in such a way that the weather conditions that are typical of Tishrei will actually be experienced in Tishrei. Now if you go with that mahalach, says Rav Papa, then there's no reason why the Kohen Gadol would have any hesitation about adding an extra month, because Adarav, as a result of adding the extra month, he's going to get the typical conditions, the weather conditions of Tishrei, like he would in every other year. We can only understand this inhibition of the Kohen Gadol if we assume that Tishrei, even after Ibur Shana, is really Cheshvan now. In other words, after the Ibur Shana, what you're really doing is you are now pushing Tishrei off by a month because there were two Adars. So Tishrei is really Cheshvan. which means that the weather conditions of Cheshvan are now going to be experienced in Tishrei. That's called Basar Yarcha Azla. So the balance of this sugya, which is, we'll call it the sugya of Roe Bakar, these are the herdsmen, and the balance of this sugya is to prove that Adarava, the whole purpose and the goal of Ibur Shana is to guarantee that there will be the right proper conditions that are typical of that month. Because what the Roy Bakr are going to say is that whether or not it's Adar Aleph or Adar Beis, right, in other words, it's an extra month, really depends upon whether it's cold out or it's warm out. Meaning, if it's still chilly out, then we're going to add an extra Adar. You know, that's going to realign the weather conditions so that the month of Nisan will have its typical weather conditions. So again, just to review, the purpose of this sugya of Roi Bakar is to prove that Adarava, that the goal and the accomplishment of Ibur Shana is to guarantee that the right month will have the right weather conditions, meaning that we're in an aberration situation here because of the discrepancy, and what we're doing is we're correcting that aberration and realigning it so that the weather conditions become absolutely critical. Now, I have to remind you that in the original sugya of Ibur Shana, we learned that there are other motivating factors that would push the rabbis to decide to expand the year and add in either. Like, for example, there's something called Tfuas Ha'ilon, a Paris Ha'ilon, which means that if the Tfuah is not growing, maybe there weren't enough rains that year, or so forth and so on. So there are many other factors here.
And also the rains were there on the road. Way up the road, they couldn't get to this.
Correct. Excellent.
So the Kohen Gadol is prohibited from joining the
Bezdin.
But it can't be because he's Nagin the Davar, because that's exactly what we're after. He's Nagin the Davar because he wants the warm weather, and that's
since he wants the warm weather, as a result of expanding, he's going to get the weather of Cheshvan in Tishrei. That's called Basar Yarcha. What's the language? Basar Yarcha Ozil. The Gemara is going to try to disprove that thesis, and the Gemara is going to try to prove that Adarava, he's going to be comfortable in Tishrei as a result of the Ibur Shana, because the Ibur Shana is just realigning everything that's called Tkufos to make sure that the season that's typical of Tishrei will actually be experienced in Tishrei, and we're going to gain that. How are we going to achieve that goal? By adding an extra Adar. So again, the machlokas here, and we're trying to analyze, you know, the Roi Bakar against this price about the Ibur Shana and the Kohen Gadol. The machlokas here is, what is the agenda of Ibur Shana? What's its goal? One way is to say that it's to realign the months, to make sure that the weather conditions will be appropriate for that month. There's a typical weather condition of Adar, there's a typical weather condition of Nisan, there's a typical weather condition of Tishrei and of Cheshvan, and because of the discrepancy between the solar calendar and the lunar calendar, what we need is an extra month to guarantee that the normal weather conditions of Tishrei will in fact coincide with Tishrei. The other way of saying it is that no, by adding an extra month, the weather conditions that are appropriate for Cheshvan will now happen in Tishrei, because Tishrei is now really Cheshvan. Why? Because what you've done is you've added another month. By adding another month, you've pushed off Tishrei to Cheshvan. So the weather conditions of Cheshvan will now prevail in Tishrei, and that's where the Kohen Gadol is very upset. So let's align the shittas here. We have machlokas about how to understand the agenda, the purpose of Ibur. The Kohen Gadol Braisa is going to teach us that the purpose of Ibur is simply whatever the reasons are. There are different rains, for the fact, there are many different factors that enter into the equation, but as a result of adding another Adar, you're basically pushing what Tishrei would have been to Cheshvan. So you're going to get the weather conditions of Cheshvan and Adar. The Gemara is now going to try to disprove that and prove that Adarav, the motivating factor for the Chachamim to introduce Ibur Shana, is the weather conditions. Meaning, we're not going to have the weather conditions of that are typical of Tishrei unless we add another Adar. By adding another Adar, we've realigned the Jewish calendar with the solar calendar in such a way that now you'll get the weather conditions of Adar, of Tishrei, that are typical of Tishrei, in Tishrei. And that's dafka by adding another month of Adar. And the Gemara is going to prove that it's weather conditions that motivate the Chachamim. And basically the Chachamim want to align the weather conditions in such a way that each month will get its typical weather conditions. How do we prove that? From the Roei Bakar. So let's go through the sugya of Roei Bakar. Eini v'hohanach shlosha Roei Bakar davikaimi v'shaminu rabbanan dekaamri. So the Rabbanan, they heard, they overheard the statements, or I shall call it the declarations, of three herdsmen. And the herdsmen are going to tell us, if we listen carefully, that the months have to reflect a certain weather condition. And each month will be typical of that weather condition. And basically what they're saying is, I don't even have to look at the calendar, I can just look at the weather conditions and I can tell you what month we're in based on the weather conditions. So Havikaime, they were standing, literally, Vishaminu Rabbanan Dekamri, and the Rabbanan heard what they said while they were standing and discussing the month of Adar. Chad Omar, let's go through all three Roei Bakar. The first one said, Im Bakir. Bakir comes from the word, the Shorish Bechar, who's, so to speak, the early one, right? He's the firstborn, so we call him the early one. Now, in planting, there's Chita, which is wheat, and that's planted usually earlier in the month. And then it's something called Saora, which is in English called barley, and barley is usually planted a little bit later. So the word Bakir is symbolic of the Chitim, and those are planted at the beginning of the month. And then it's something called Lakish. Lakish means something which is planted a little bit later in the month, which is the late crop, that's called barley, that's called Saora. Kechada Yonetz, if we notice that they are both growing and ready for harvesting in the field at the same time, even though one was earlier than the other, the planting of one was earlier than the other, you would have anticipated that you'd be ready to cut down the wheat way before that you're ready to cut down the barley. So that something's going fluky over here. Why is it that kechada yonetz, that they sprout, yonetz is to sprout, kechada at the same time? It must be that there's some sort of unusual heat. There's like what we call a heat wave. And the karka, the ground, is suffering from this heat wave, and it somehow, you know, speeds up the process of growth, the maturation here of the barley, which is now going to be ready for harvest simultaneously with the chita, the wheat that was planted much earlier. And in such a case, deinu adar. It means that since Adar is a warmer month than Shvat, Shvat is a little bit closer to the winter months, Adar is already closer to the spring, so it must be that there's early spring, so to speak, and the heat is now from the sun is already being absorbed by the karka, by the ground, in such a way that it speeds up the process of maturation of the barley. So now I don't even have to look at the calendar and I know it's Adar, because Adar is typical of heat, of hot weather. Again, when we say hot weather, I don't mean it's, you know, it's Florida in August, that's not what I'm talking about, but relatively hot. V'imlav, and if the ground is not heated up, and therefore it's the wheat that is harvestable, that is fully grown earlier than the barley takes its time because it was planted later, is less than Adar. It means it's not a cold month. I'm sorry, crest that out. It's not a hot month. It would have been a hot month and they would both develop simultaneously. So it means that we're suffering from a cold weather condition. And therefore, less than Adar. This could not be the month of Adar. It would have to be the month of Shvat. But what you're seeing here is a direct correlation between the names of the month and the weather conditions. And when the Rabbanan overhear this, at least in the Havamina, the Gemara assumes they were motivated to decide whether or not to be Ma'abra the Shana, meaning if it's cold weather out there, then we want to add another month of Adar so that Adar Sheni already would have the weather, the warm weather that's typical of Adar Sheni. If on the other hand there's already warm weather out there, then let it be Adar and there's no need to add another month. So again, what we're trying to do and accomplish by adding another month is to make sure that the weather conditions that are typical of the month will in fact be experienced during that month. And this is antithetical to the price of Kohen Gadol, because Kohen Gadol has nothing to lose by adding another month. He's still going to experience the typical weather conditions of Tishrei, despite the extra Adar, which means that the winter was unusually long, and therefore they had to add another Adar to make sure that Adar Sheni would already be Adar, meaning Adar Sheni now would have the weather conditions of Adar, hence Nisan would already be the beginning of Aviv, and everything goes beyond that. So that Tishrei is going to now have, as a result of the extension of the year, the weather conditions of Tishrei. And that's against the brisa of Kohen Gadol. Now we go to the second herdsman, V'chad Omar, and the second one says the following. Now keep in mind that in Aramaic, a Tav, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, will replace a Shin. Like the typical example of that would be tlas, which is the same as what?
Shalosh.
Now in the case of the word shar, if you substitute the tuf for the shin, you end up with tar, right? So imtar. Now the herdsmen were dealing with oxen, which is called a shar. A shar is an ox. Now tsafra means the morning. Tlag, again, if you substitute a shin for the tuf, is sheleg, meaning cold weather, even though it literally it means snow, but it sometimes the word snow is used to indicate cold weather. So he says the following. If the ox in the morning is very cold, then yomus. It means that cold weather is very dangerous for the oxen, and the oxen might perish as a result of the cold weather. Now the weather is coldest in the morning. So what would save and protect and preserve the lives of the oxen would be if it warms up during the course of the day. And that's what he says with Tira. Tira always means the afternoon. Like the Gemara says, Shraga Batira Mai Mahani, that if you light a candle in the afternoon when the sun is still strong, Mai Mahani, it doesn't help you at all, right? That's why we wait until nightfall to light candles, like on Shabbos or on Hanukkah, right? So that's called Tira. Tira means the afternoon, and now the sun is coming out. Right? Well, not only coming out, but it's like reaching its zenith. Is then, what do the oxen do? Betul, tul is the shade, te'ena is a fig tree. If you've ever seen a fig tree, it gives a lot of shade. So the oxen now are sweating it out because of the hot sun, even though in the morning it was very cold, now it heated up. And yidmoch yashlich mashke. He says the chom, the heat, is now intensifying to such an extent that the shar has to find shade under the eitz te'ena, under the fig tree, and literally yifshot es oro, which is a phrase, an idiomatic phrase that means he will scratch his back on the tree or the bark of this fig tree because it's so hot. You know, when you're very hot, you start scratching yourself. So what this means is that don't be fooled by the morning coldness. This is so typical of Yerushalayim. You know, sometimes you go out in Yerushalayim in the morning and, you know, your wife asks, you know, when you come back from Minyan, your wife asks, should I wear a coat today? And you say, yeah, you better wear a winter coat. It's very cold in the morning.
But then, lo and behold, she comes back after a day of work and she says, why did you tell me to wear winter? I was so hot. So the sun comes out in the afternoon. Is then Dein Hu Adar. That means that you're getting weather conditions that are typical of the month of Adar. Vim Lav. But if it doesn't warm up in the afternoon and it remains cold like it was in the morning, then less Dein Adar, this is not the month of Adar, but rather this is the month of Shvat. So once again, we see from the second row of Bakr that he too confirms what we saw from the first, that the cold weather is typical of Shvat. And if this weather conditions is such that it's cold, then we're not in good shape here, because Adar has to be a warm month. So how are we going to solve that problem? And how are we going to guarantee that Adar will begin to be the warm weather? We're going to add another Adar. And the purpose of Ibar Shana, this is what the Chacham are thinking when they overhear the herdsmen, is to align the weather conditions with that month so that each month has its typical weather conditions. And finally we get to the third and last of the Roi Bakr. V'chad Amar, he declared Im Kidum. Now Kidum means when you talk about like we'll have it, I think, even in this week's parasha, Kedma. Kedma means to the east. So the wind blows from the east, and if the wind from the east is takif means it's very strong. So let's say this east wind is very strong. In Hebrew, it's called a ruach mizrachit, v'hi chazaka ma'od. Now it's interesting. The east wind, and this is a Gemara in Brachos, if I remember correctly, brings cold weather. Then the Gemara says that despite this unusually strong wind that's bringing cold weather, if yipach means he blows, right? Nofach biapov, right? Bloach are the cheeks. Nofik likible, they will sort of be an anti-force that will push against this wind. Why? Because apparently it's warming up. The conditions are such that it's warm, and when he blows, what's going to come out is hot air. And that hot air is able to warm up the eastern wind, even though the eastern wind is cold and it's very strong in this case. Is Dein Hu Adar, then once again it means that the winter is gone, and you're able to offset the influence of this cold wind by just blowing against it, because apparently there's hot air, you know, in the environment, and the summer is upon us. And then you know that it's Adar, because Adar is typical of what? Of warm weather. V'im lav. But if the eastern wind is so strong that you can't have any impact on it, it means that the weather conditions are still cold, less than Adar. That's not typical of Adar. It must be Shvat. So now, as a result of overhearing these conversations, the Chachamim understood that if it's still cold, then it's the month of Shvat. And if it's getting warm, then it's month of Adar. If it's unusually cold, Ibrua Rabbanu La'ishata, that year the Rabbanu decided to extend the year by adding another month, because by doing so, Adar now, the first Adar, will experience the weather conditions that are typical of Shvat, so that Adar Beis will now become Adar. The real Adar is Adar Beis, because the weather conditions that are typical of Adar will be manifest in Adar Beis. So the sum total of all this is against our Brisa of the Kohen Gadol and the principle that Rav Papa formulated called Shata Basar Yarcha Azil, that the purpose of Ibar Shana is to realign and make sure that each month gets its own weather conditions as it is. No, it's just the contrary. What's happening is that we're pushing the weather conditions as they appear in the month. And the reason for that is because we need, as the Roi Bakr says, that month typify the weather conditions. So what's going to happen is the following. That if you would accept the principle of the Roy Bakar, then there's no reason for the Kohen Gadol to have any chashash, to worry about being uncomfortable, because on the contrary, what motivates the Chachamim to add another month is to make sure that that month will what? Will manifest the weather conditions that are typical of that month. So that if Shvat is unusually cold, it means that Adar will be unusually cold as well. We have to wedge another Adar between Shvat and Nisan, and that's what we're doing in order to realign the natural weather conditions with that month. So that by doing so, the Iver Shana is going to accomplish exactly what the Kohen Gadol would want it to be accomplished, because now we're going to realign the lunar calendar in such a way that Tishrei will manifest the typical weather conditions of Tishrei. And that's against the Brisa of Kohen Gadol, because the Brisa of the Kohen Gadol says Rav Papa predicates that Shata Basar Yarcha Azla, that what you're doing is, by adding another month, you're changing the weather conditions of Tishrei to that of Cheshvan. So it's the original month, as it were, in a natural course of events, if there wouldn't have been an intervention of Iber Shana, that is going to be the weather conditions. There are maybe other different factors that motivate Iber Shana, but as a result, the weather conditions that are typical of Cheshvan are now going to be manifest in Adar. But what are we going to do with this whole story of the Roi Bakar? And the Chachamim overheard the Roi Bakar and made that decision to be Marv the Shana, because the weather conditions were atypical, and in order to make sure that the weather conditions would be typical and they correspond to the month, they added another month. So the Gemara answers, name Vitizra, what are you thinking? Rabbanan, Aravasa Samich? Samach means they rely. Ravasa means the Roi Bakar. You think that they were relying and they made the decision based on the Roi Bakar? Nein. El Rabbana Nachush Benayu Samach. The Rabbana may have any number of reasons why they decided to be Ma'ar the Shana. And as a result, it's going to change the month in terms of its weather conditions. That's what the Kohen Gadol was worried about. Shata Basa Yarcha Azil. So why were they overhearing the Roi Bakar? Roi Bakar is Tayuehu Distaya Milsaihu. Like, they lucked out, the Chachamim, and they said, we have another extra, so to speak, support for our decision to be Marv the Shana based on the weather conditions. Their motivating factors were not to realign the weather conditions, but if they would gain that, that's great. And what they heard from the Roi Bakar is that the weather conditions are very unusual this year. Shvat is unusually cold. And as a result of Iber Shana, by adding an extra Adar, then Adar Sheni reflected the normal weather conditions of Adar, and Nisan turns out to be in Aviv, and everybody's happy. But again, it wasn't that the Rabbanan made that decision based on the Roi Bakar. Their calculation, their motivation to be Marv the Shana was not because of, let's realign the months with their normal, typical weather conditions. They did it for other reasons. They were worried about the rain and maybe the crops, and they had all sorts of reasons that we saw in the first Perek of Sanhedrin. They were very excited because the way that the Roi Bakar were describing what they saw, Bashetach, you know, in the fields, would be very much in line with Iber Shana. But that's not the reason they were Ba'avra the Shana. And if there are other reasons that motivate the Chacham to be Ba'avra the Shana, the Kohen Gadol is in trouble over here, because then the weather conditions that are typical of Tishrei, which means, you know, the weather is still summery, so to speak, it's autumn weather, will now be typical of Cheshvan, because basically Adar is really Cheshvan, I mean Tishrei is really Cheshvan, and hence you got the cold weather. That's what I was able to figure out. So again, the rabbis understood from the Roi Bakar that the colder weather was typical of Shvat, and the warmer weather was typical of Adar. And therefore, they understood that extension of the year would result in typically Adar-like weather in Adar Sheni, right? So you want to get the Adar weather, which is typical of Adar. You're going to have to, in this case, because of the atypical cold weather of Shvat, you're going to have to add another month and realign the Jewish calendar with the seasons of the solar calendar, such that now Adar Sheni will have the weather conditions that are typical of Adar. And if that be the case, then there's nothing that the Kohen Gadol should be concerned about. But the final maskana is that the Gemara says the rabbis were not relying upon the Roi Bakar, but rather they had their own motivating factors for being Ma'abra the Shana. So Reuven, I wanted to ask you, if you have footnote number 28, I just want to see if he clarifies this. I'll read it really quickly. Part of this is way beyond our discussion here. He's got a Rabbeinu Chananel. I don't know what he has here. The Gemara assumes in the Havamina, which was the Eini, when the Gemara asked Eini, that the Chachamim extended the year only because of the factor that was mentioned by the herdsman, i.e. the weather. In other words, there was no other motivating factor for adjustment and adding a month other than the weather conditions. So the colder weather that was typical of Shvat and the months of the Jewish calendar, well, let me just read this. By extending the year at this time, the Jewish calendar would actually jump a month ahead of the solar calendar. I don't know. This is too complicated for me. you'll go over this footnote. I think we did a good job. All right. Now, Rebels, yeah, go ahead, please.
Only I don't understand is the wheat and barley business.
Yeah.
Because the barley, at least according to the minhagim that we have, the barley comes out first, and that's the owner. And the chita doesn't come out to stay alechem, which is many weeks later. And that's normal. And the way we were describing it, the wheat gets planted first, they come out at the same time.
Right, if the weather is warm, they'll come out at the same time because the warm karka will somehow speed up the process.
The barley coming out by Pesach time and the wheat coming out at Shavuos.
Right. So I mean, for that you'd have to know sugyos and menachos. If I remember correctly, does the Gemara say over there, where do they take the Omer from?
Further out.
Further out. I remember the fields and this, that, and the other. I don't know. I'd have to go through that sugya. Okay, now let's go back to the Ishus part, the laws of Ebenezer in our Mishnah. The Mishnah about Kohen Gadol says that if the Kohen Gadol has a brother who unfortunately passed away and left no children, and now the Kohen Gadol's sister-in-law, the widow of his brother, now falls for Yibum, the Mishnah says Choletz. The Kohen Gadol will get Chalitza, meaning that the spitting of the Yavama in front of the Choletz is not so antithetical, if you will, to the kavod that we have for the Kohen Gadol. Then it says, in the opposite case, let's say the Kohen Gadol dies, then there's Chalitza, there's Yibum, if the Kohen Gadol died without children. Okay. Now, is there a possibility of Yibum in the first case that we mentioned when the Kohen Gadol's brother dies without children? And the answer is what? No. Yibum is not a possibility. Again, if the Kohen Gadol dies, then his surviving brother has two options. He can have Chalitza, he can even be Miyabim, the widow of the Kohen Gadol. That's not an issue. But in the case where the Kohen Gadol is now in the driver's seat as far as Yibum and Chalitza vis-a-vis his sister-in-law, because his brother died childless, here he has only one option. And that's what? Chalitza. Why is Yibum not an option?
That's not Torah.
Exactly, because the Torah says that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, he's only allowed to marry a besula. Okay. Now the Gemara says the following, Kaposik Vitani. What this means is that the way we have to read a Mishnah is that if the Mishnah is unqualified, then it means it always applies. And that's a chiddush, because we would have thought that maybe there's an exception to the rule. So again, the Mishnah establishes that there's no Yibum when the brother of the Kohen Gadol dies, because he's leaving an Alman. So what's the kaposik vitani? Loshna. And here we turn to the last lines on this Amud. We're about to finish the Amud. We've been on Daf Yud Ches for a long time. Anyway, Lo Shna Mina Erisin V'Lo Shna Mina Nesuin. What does that mean? The law of Yibum and Chalitza, which is called Zikas Yibum, that applies even if the deceased brother during his lifetime did not consummate the marriage with a Maisa Bia. In other words, it was only Erisin. Erisin means that she's an Eishes Ish, but she lives in her father's house, and the Arus is enjoined from having any relationship with the Arus until he brings her into
his house.
Right, into his house, into Chuba, into Nisuin, and only after Nisuin is there a Heter Bia. So the Gemara analyzes this. What do you mean there's no Yibum in all cases? Bishlema, I understand. If she was an Almana Min HaNisuin, then there's no possibility of Yibum because she's already a Ba'ula because they've consummated the marriage. And you might say, well, okay, there's an Isur for a Kohen Gadol to marry a Ba'ula, but that Isur is only derived from an essay. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Ba'ula. The Torah says, "V'hu isha b'psula yikach." He's obligated to marry a Basula. So what we have here is basically a flip side of an essay. In other words, he would violate the essay of marrying a Basula, of a Basula if he married a Ba'ula. So in this case of Almana Min HaNisuin, if she falls for Yibum, then by his marrying her, he would be in violation of the essay of Bipsuleo Bi'amov Yikach Isha. Oh. But now we have another issue. And what is it? The Torah says, Almana Ugrusha Vechalola Zona Es Ele Lo Yikach. In other words, the Torah now delineates four categories of women which are also, now listen to the language of the Torah. The Torah says, lo yikach. Is that an essay or a lo saseh? Everyone? That's a lo saseh. And on the list is almana. And now we're talking about min hanisuin. So she's clearly included not just in the essay, but also in the lo saseh. Now, why is this important for the Gemara? Because, as we'll see on Daf Yud Tesamid Aleph, there are rules of essay docha lo saseh. But although essay is docha lo saseh, it does not have the power to be docha lo saseh and an essay. So, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, when his sister in law falls for Yibum, if she was already a Nesua, so not only is she an almana, which is a lo saseh lo yikach, but she's also, in the case of a Nesua, a Ba'ula, and therefore you'd be violating the essay of who Isha Bipsuleh Yikach. So by having a relationship with this woman, who is the widow of his late brother Min HaNisuin, he really is in violation of two separate Isurim, of a Losaseh and an essay as well. So for the sake of the mitzvah of Yibum, we can override a lo saseh. Like, for example, in the case of kelayim b'tzitzis, you would be allowed to wear tzitzis even though there's kelayim in the tzitzis, because esse docha lo saseh. But on the other hand, you would not be allowed to violate yontif, let's say, for the case of an esse, because yontif is a lo saseh and an esse. So when there's a double whammy, it's not only a lo saseh, it's also an esse. So what happens is the esse is sort of neutralized by the other essay, and you're left with a lo saseh. So there's no way that an essay could be docha lo saseh and an essay. So all that makes sense in the case of almana min hanisuin, as the Gemara says here on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, ein essay docha lo saseh vi essay, because not only do we have the lo saseh of almana, which that would apply even in the case of Erisin, but we have an additional violation of an essay of Bisula because she's already a Ba'ula, she's an Almana Min HaNisuin. But now, Kaposik Vitani, Loshna min ha'nesuin, loshna min ha'erisin, that even if she was almana min ha'erisin when she falls for yibum, the Kohen Gadol is enjoined from being mekayim in the midst of yibum amai. Why is that so? Yavo esei v'yidche losaseh. All we're left with here is one losas. In other words, she's an almana, that's true, but she's still a besula. We have no reason to suspect that she's a besula because she was still living in her husband, in her father's house, and the arus was enjoined from having any relationship with her, and therefore she still has a cheskas besula. If she still has a cheskas besula, then if the Kohen Gadol marries her, why is he in violation of an essay? She's still a besula. Everybody cop that? If she's still a besula, there's no essay. The essay drops out. So what are you left with? You're left with a losas. Well, if you're left with the losas of almana, then we have a principle called yavo essay v'yidche losas. Now, at this point, I just want to point out that in order to apply the principle of essay docha losas, the most important precondition is what's called be'idna. Be'idna means at the same time. So simultaneously, he is violating the losas and being mekayim the essay. So when you have that overlap, but let's say, for example, if it wasn't be'idna, let's say he would violate the losas and then he would fulfill his essay. Now, why do I say this? Because bia is very complicated in halachic terms. It has what's called tchilas bia and it has sof bia, which means the following: that with regard to losas says, you violate the losas already with tchilas bia, but with regard to an essay of lahakim zera liachiv, you need gemar bia. And gemar bia takes place after tchilas bia. That's when it becomes ro'ui lahakim zera l'shem achim, meaning that she could become pregnant. So the assumption is she won't become pregnant by tchilas bia. She'll only become pregnant with sof bia. So the mitzvah of yibum is now suspended until sof bia. The beginning of the bia is just a hechatim, I mean, it's just a prologue, you know, to get to the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum, if let's say he would have tchilas bia and then he would remove his aver, he would not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum. He needs gemar bia. And if that be the case, if he needs gemar bia, then we don't have be'idna here because he's going to violate the losas, or in this case the essay, already with tchilas bia. Now life becomes even more complicated because l'chora, the Gemara is saying that she has the status of a besula. Well, I'm not exactly sure about that because when he starts his bia, and even before he gets to the midst of yibum, he's already made her into a be'ula. Because as far as all dinei Torah is concerned, all you need is tchilas bia, and she loses her status as a besula. Now, I don't know. So we're going to see here, Bia Rishona, Bia Shnia, and Xeris, and all that. Okay. So why don't we apply Esei Docha Losas in the case of an Almana Min Ha'erisin? So the Gemara answers that in this case, the reason for objecting to Yibum has nothing to do with the law of the Torah, meaning on a Doraisa level, we would apply Esei Docha Losas in the case of Almana Min Ha'erisin. And the only issue about Yibum is not the Mitzvah Saseh of Yibum on a Doraisa level. That certainly would override the Losas of Almana, because she's still a Besula. But rather, we're worried about some sort of a Gezerah Derabbanan. The whole issue of Yibum in the case of Almana Min Ha'erisin is a rabbinic issue. And what is the nature of this Gzerah? So the issue is what we call Bia Shnia. Now this is really, really amazing. What happens is that Esei Docha Losas in this case applies only to Bia Rishona. But if we're afraid that he'll also have Bia Shnia, then she's already Asuralo Bia Shnia. Well, why? Because there's no essay, right? The essay of Yibum, he fulfills with the first Bia. When he gets the second Bia, he has no essay of Yibum. And yet he's going to be violating the Isur of Almana, because even though she's Mina Erison, she still has a full-fledged status of Almana, and that's why we said there's a Losa Seh of Almana Lo Yika. So you can have Esei Docha Losa Seh in the first Bia, but you won't be able to say Esei Docha Losa in the second Bia, because there's no Mitzvah of Yibum in the second Bia. Do you follow? The Mitzvah of Yibum applies only to the first Bia. Tanya Nami Hachi, we also learned this in a Braisa, Im Kadmu Ubalu. If let's say he went ahead and he was Balea, which means he was Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum, is then Balu Biarishona Kadmu. With the first Bia, he's Konar. And she becomes an HSC. She cannot marry anyone else without a get. But nevertheless, in this case of a Kohen Gadol, is also Lekaimon. He's not allowed to remain married to her because of Bia Shnia. Because even though Bia Rishona was Esei Docha Losaseh, but nevertheless, Bia Shnia, he's already been Konaha, he's already Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum. There's no Esei to be Docha the Iser of Almana. So we see that the entire problem or the barrier that prevents his kiyum of Yibum is not on a Doraisa level, but rather on a Derabbanan level. And the Rabbanan are going to block him from being Mekayim, the Mitzvah Doraisa of Yibum, because the Chachamim are worried that he might have Bia Shnia. And with regard to Bia Shnia, there's no essay to be Doka the Losas. But why does the Braisa say Im Kadmu Ubalu Bia Rishona Kanu? The thrust of what the Gemara wants to say is that as far as the Torah is concerned, if he did this Bia Rishona, he shouldn't have done so because of the Rabbanan's Gzera, but if he went ahead and he did so, then since there's essay Doka Losas, the Torah therefore would recognize Bidiyeved, if he did this, that he had a meaningful and valid Bia, which is a Kinyan, which is the Mitzvah of Yibum, and now she becomes a full-fledged Eish Ish. So we're not saying that he shouldn't have done so, and therefore the marriage is null and void. No, the marriage is very much alive and well, and we validate it. He's not allowed to be Mekayim her because of Bia Shnia. He'll have to give her a divorce, but she's an Eish Ish, and he fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum, and he was Kona. And this is all based on the principle of Esei Docha Losa, so which applies in the case of an Almana Min Ha Erisin. And since she was an Almana Min Erisin, there's no additional violation of an essay on the part of her because she's still a Basula. There's only a violation of a Lotase because she's an Almana. But we're going to apply the principle of Esei Docha Losa, but that's only as far as Bia Rishon is concerned. But the Bia Rishon, if he went ahead and he did it, he implemented it, is a valid Bia, and therefore there's a Kinyan, and she will not be able to marry anyone else without a get. Now, Rabosa, let's just see where we're up to, because I want to make a note of what we're going to study in Mirza Shem tomorrow. Remember that this Mishnah has a whole discussion about Avelus. And the first discussion in the Mishnah was about the Kohen Gadol who lost one of his relatives, and he would like to, if everything was equal, he would love to get the okay to participate in the mitzvah of Levayas HaMes, to take the mess out to the cemetery in order to bury the mess. Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are going to be at loggerheads in this question. Rav Meir is going to be more liberal. He's going to allow the Kohen Gadol to participate in Levayas HaMes, but in a very restricted way. And that's called Hei Nichnasev Hu Nigle, Hei Nigle Hu Nichse, meaning they're playing hide and seek. Those who are escorting the dead will not see him, the Kohen Gadol. He's in a different street. When they leave that street, he can continue towards the mess and go into the next street, and they don't see him, he doesn't see them, and we're not afraid that he might lunge, you know, plunge and grab onto the coffin and carry the mess and be metame himself. Rabbi Yehuda goes very far, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that he can't participate in this Levayis HaMess at all. Just let him stay in the Beis HaMikdash, wherever he is, let him stay home, but we're not going to allow, there's no leniency here for